vision. What does this theme mean for us as a local church? This theme is our blueprint for moving forward. It is our blueprint for moving forward, and it is our blueprint for moving forward in unstable, dark, and troubling times. Church, this theme is going to carry us through uncertainty and difficulty. Building on the vision. What does that mean for us? Well, let me give you a couple of definitions. That word build means to frame. It means to construct. It means to erect on a foundation. To build, it means to frame. To construct or erect on a foundation. To build means to establish, increase, or strengthen. It means to establish, increase, or strengthen. What does the word vision mean? Bishop defined that word on last week. Vision means divine communication that gives sight. Vision is divine communication that gives sight. In other words, vision is divine revelation. It is the revealed will of God. So when we talk about building on the vision, when we build on our vision, it means that we will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. When we build on our vision, we will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. That's what it means for us to build on the vision. What is God's will for us? What is our vision? Many of us know it. Our vision is to be a church patterned after the church at Philippi. We are to be a people who loves God, who hates sin, and loves to give. Church, if we love God, and if we hate sin, if we love to give, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. If we purpose in our heart and determine with all that is in us to love God, to hate sin, and love to give, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. If we love God, hate sin, and love to give, God will strengthen, refresh, and revive our church. This theme is important. Church, if we love God, hate sin, and love to give, we can individually and collectively move God's will forward in these challenging times. See, God has a will for our lives. God wants us to move His will for our lives forward, even in these dark, unstable, and uncertain times. Church, our theme scripture is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3 gives us our attitude and approach to this year's theme. It gives us our attitude and our approach to this year's theme. What is happening in Philippians? Well, we know that Philippians is a letter of exhortation written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi while he was imprisoned in Rome. Paul begins this letter by thanking the Philippians for their material resources. They had sent help to him during his confinement. And Paul tells them to not be discouraged by his suffering, because his imprisonment had resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul then goes on to exhort them. He exhorts them to live in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He tells them to avoid strife and division. He warns them to watch out for spiritual corruption in the church. And he tells them to not have confidence in the flesh. But as Paul begins to warn them to not have confidence in the flesh, he begins to reflect on his own life. And he begins to reflect on the fact that he had given up everything in order to win Christ. And when Paul says, "I gave up everything to win Christ," in other words, Paul was saying, "I gave up everything so that I might gain Christ's favor and his fellowship." Fellowship with him was the most important thing to me, so I let everything go. Paul then shares what he sought to accomplish in his Christian walk. But then he admits, I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. There are some things that I desire, but I'm not yet there. I'm not perfect yet. That's where we pick up in verse 12. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." The church, this is a very difficult verse of scripture. But what Paul is saying is, he's saying, I have not yet arrived. There are some things that I need to do with my life. There are some things that I seek to accomplish in my Christian walk. I have not yet arrived, so I strive to lay hold to the spiritual prize, because Jesus Christ first laid hold of me. That's what he's saying. Because Jesus laid hold of me, because he saved me, because he snatched me out of destruction, because he turned my life around, because of that, I'm striving. I'm striving with all that is in me to reach the mark. I'm striving with all that is in me to continue to elevate my life. So I strive. How does Paul strive? Let's continue. Verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Church, in these verses is our attitude and our approach to the work that is before us. See, in these dark and troubling times, we must build on the vision. We must continue to strive to reach higher levels in our Christian walk. We must conform our lives to God's will and obey his instructions. We must endeavor with all that is in us to love God, to hate sin, and to love to give, so that God can establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. But church, to do that, we must forget those things that are behind. That is, we must give up, neglect, turn away from our former life. And some of us right now are saying, "Well, Pastor, I've turned away from my former life a long time ago." But oftentimes we have not turned away as much as we think. We have to turn away from our former ideas. We have to turn away from our former opinions. Turn away from our former habits. Turn away from some old pursuits and activities. if we're going to build on the vision this year, there are going to be some things in our life that God tells us you got to let go. See, God started with us last year, but I am afraid that we did not get the message. Last year, God warned us that there were some things in our life that we needed to change in order to obey him. And yet we still held on to those things. We did not let them go. But he's telling us now, if you're going to build on the vision, you're going to have to forget those things that are behind. You're going to have to let go of some things. Some things that you used to count on. Some things that you used to rely on. Some things that you used to depend on. You're going to have to forget those things that are behind. And you're going to have to reach for what is before. That is, in this year, church, we must strive. We must stretch ourselves toward the will of God before us. We must stretch ourselves towards the will of God, which is before us. We must focus on God's instructions and make every effort to move forward in obedience. Some things that we're going to have to forget, leave behind. There are going to be some things that we have to reach forward, and then we are going to have to press. We're going to have to press toward the mark. In other words, we're going to have to move swiftly. Move with urgency, always keeping the end in view. We're going to have to move swiftly. We're going to have to move with urgency, always keeping the end in view. What is the end? The ultimate goal? Our heavenly reward. Church, in other words, this year we have to be all in. Gotta be all in. This year we must listen intently and learn. We must listen intently and learn what it means to love God. We must listen intently and learn what it really means to hate sin. We must listen intently and learn what it really means to love to give. And that means we have to be willing to be taught. Can't assume. Just because I've heard the vision doesn't mean I know the vision. Just because I can recite the vision doesn't mean I'm one with the vision. This year, we're going to have to listen intently and we're going to have to learn. Then we're going to have to establish a relationship with the things we learn. We're going to have to establish a relationship with the things we learn. In other words, we have to do what we're being taught. We're going to have to do what we're being taught. We cannot be content hearing and not doing. Can't be passive hearers, lacking energy to apply the word. We're going to have to do what we are being taught. And then we're going to have to manifest the vision. We're going to have to make it clear, and we're going to have to make it visible to a lost and a dying world. But church, we must understand that this year's theme is a difference maker for all of us. This year's theme is a difference maker for all of us. What do you mean, Pastor? We're going to come to understand that no matter our present condition, no matter the problems that we currently face, we can establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by building on our vision. No matter what we're going through, no matter the present condition, the problems that we face, we can this year establish our lives, elevate our lives, and strengthen our lives simply by building on the vision. You might say, well, I came into the year haggard and worn. Well, the answer is build on the vision. You might say, I'm in need of rebuilding my character. The answer is build on the vision. You might say, I'm in need of restoring some relationships. Well, the answer to your problem is to build on the vision. You might say, I need to fix my finances. The answer to that problem is build on the vision. You might have some specific direction that you are looking for in your life. The answer to that direction is in building on the vision. You might say, Pastor, I need a complete life overhaul. The answer to that is build on the vision. If we build on the vision, conform our life to the will of God, if we obey his original instructions for us as a church, purpose in our heart to love God, hate sin, and love to give, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen our life. And he will strengthen, refresh, and revive our church. He'll do it even in these difficult, dark, and troubling times. And you might say, well, Pastor, that sounds real good. How do I get started? Well, we're not ready to dive into the work. We're not even going to talk about building on the vision in this series. I want us to make sure that we understand how important our vision is to us this year. That's where we're going to begin. I want us to understand just how important our vision is. Church, we are in part one of our new series entitled Our Vision. Our Vision. Let me give you the intent, purpose, objectives, and goal of our new series. The intent of this series, I want to teach us the significance of our vision. I want to teach us the significance of our vision. The purpose of this series is that we understand why we must build on the vision. We want to understand why we must build on the vision. Church, we have 7 objectives in this series. I want to teach us 7 things about our vision. I want to teach us first our vision's origin. I want to teach our vision's origin. Then I want to teach our vision's purpose. That's our second objective. We want to learn and understand our vision's purpose. In our third objective, we will learn our vision's power. We will learn our vision's power. And in our fourth objective, we will learn our vision's benefit. We will learn our vision's benefit. From there, we will learn our vision's relevance. That's our fifth objective. We will learn our vision's relevance. In our sixth objective, we will learn our vision's adequacy. We will learn our vision's adequacy. And in our seventh and final objective, we will learn our vision's effect. I want to teach us our vision's origin, its purpose, its power, its benefit, its relevance, its adequacy, and its effect. The goal of this series is that we commit to the work. That's the goal. We want to commit to the work. So let's start in our first objective, our vision's origin. The subtitle for today's message is Divine Communication. Divine communication. Church, we must understand that our vision is significant because of where it comes from. Our vision is significant because of where it comes from. Our vision is significant because it comes from God. And anything that comes from God is significant. Our vision is significant because it comes from God. See, when we talk about vision in this series and in this year, we're not talking about what most people think when they think of vision. Vision is not my personal hopes, dreams, fantasies, or aspirations. That's not what I mean by vision. It's not my personal hopes, dreams, fantasies, or aspirations. Vision is not the creation of my mind. I know it's popular now to talk about vision casting, but that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about building on the vision. It is not a creation of my mind. It is not my ideas or plans for the future. When we talk about vision, we're talking about how we defined it at the beginning of this message. Remember what we said? That vision is divine communication that gives sight. It is divine communication that gives sight. It is divine revelation, the revelation of God's will. Now, that definition of vision says a lot. It very plainly tells us, first of all, what vision is. Vision is communication. It is revelation. That's what it is. Communication. Then it tells us where vision comes from. It comes from God. Divine communication that gives sight. It is communication that reveals the will of God. That's what vision is. And that's what our vision is. See, church, our vision is not a cute slogan to put on t-shirts. That's not what our vision is. Our vision comes from God. It is what God has communicated to us. It is extracted from the Word of God. It reveals the will of God, and it gives us spiritual sight. Our vision is what God has communicated to us. It is extracted from the Word of God. It reveals the will of God, and it gives a spiritual sight. Church, our vision contains warnings and instructions from God. You remember warnings and instructions? Our vision contains those warnings and instructions from God that will help us address the issues, problems, and challenges of our life. That's why we have to build on the vision. That's why we must conform our life to the vision. Because if I conform my life to God's warnings and his instructions, I will be able to address the issues of my life, the problems of my life, and the challenges of my life. And church, because our vision is extracted from the Word of God, our vision expresses our doctrine. It expresses our doctrine in a succinct way. In other words, our vision summarizes our doctrine in a way we can easily understand and recall to mind. Now, that's important because we need to be able to recall our doctrine, recall what we believe, recall who we are in a way that is easy and easily understood. See, our doctrine teaches us a lot of things. Our doctrine teaches us that we must love God. See, Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 through 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." When asked which was the great commandment in the law, Jesus himself said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Our doctrine teaches us that we must love God. Our doctrine teaches us that we must hate sin. See, Psalms 34, 14 says, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Isaiah 1, 16, 17 says, "Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." Ephesians 4, 22 says that we are to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Our doctrine teaches us that we must love God. Our doctrine teaches us that we must hate sin. Our doctrine teaches us that we ought to love to give. Deuteronomy 15, 11 says, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land." Proverbs 11, 25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, why am I reading all of these scriptures to you? It is to make a point. That's a lot of doctrine. Just in those few minutes, that's a lot of doctrine. And sometimes, in the heat of the moment, I may not remember the exact scripture. Sometimes when the temptation arises, I may not remember the correct verse. I may not remember that I need to go to Psalms. I may not remember that I need to find my scripture in Proverbs. I may not remember that there is scripture in Deuteronomy that speaks to my situation. See, that's a lot of doctrine, but I can remember this. Love God. Hate sin. Love to give. I can remember that. Love God. Hate sin. Love to give. See, it helps me stay with my doctrine. But church, I don't want you to be mistaken. Our vision does not replace our doctrine. It's not a substitute. Our vision is like a guidepost pointing us to our doctrine. Because when I can remember to love God, hate sin, and love to give, it's going to cause me to seek some answers. See, when I recall to mind in a situation, I need to love God, then I am moved by the Holy Spirit to go learn what that means. I have to love God. I have to handle this situation by loving God. When I recall to my mind that I must hate sin, see, I'm facing a temptation in my life, And I remember God says I must hate sin. Then I'm moved by the Holy Spirit to go learn what that means. When I recall to my mind that I must love to give, then I am moved by the Holy Ghost to go learn what that means. Our vision is a guidepost that leads us to our doctrine. See, church, our vision is significant because it comes from God. And if we take our vision seriously, then we will be able to build our life in such a way that we can grow and we can mature. Our vision is significant. That brings us to our points for this morning. Church, knowing that our vision is significant, we must do three very simple things. Church, we must, point number one, respect our vision. We must respect our vision. That word respect means to acknowledge, to prize, to value, and to esteem it worthy. To acknowledge, to prize, to value, to esteem it worthy. Church, if we're going to do the work that our theme requires us to do this year, we must respect our vision. We must acknowledge it for what it is. We must prize it and value it. We must esteem it worthy. It is amazing how we as Christians have no respect for the Word of God. Christians have no respect for the Word of God. We value everything else above the Word of God. But if we are going to build on the vision, we must respect our vision. We have to acknowledge it, prize it, value it, and esteem it as worthy. Church, do we not know and understand that whenever God speaks to us, that whatever He says is worthy? That it's worthy of our attention. Do we respect His word? Do we respect our vision? See, we cannot treat our vision as trivial. Cannot look at it lightly. We cannot look at our vision as if it is just simply a church motto. That's how we like to treat our vision. Well, you know, we are a church that loves God, hates sin, and loves to give. And we treat it like a motto. We recite it, and then we forget it right away. We recite it, and we don't think about the words that we have said. We recite it and forget what's all behind the words that we have said. We cannot look at our vision as if it is a motto that we just recite. We must acknowledge it, that it is divine communication. We must acknowledge that it is the revealed will of God, that it is God's will for our life, right here and right now. We must acknowledge that our vision contains warnings and instructions from God, that it contains warnings and instructions that I must hear, that I cannot set aside. See, I have to respect the vision. And church, we must esteem our vision worthy. Worthy of knowing. Worthy of understanding. Worthy of grasping. See, so many times people say, well, I don't quite understand the Word of God, but if I believe that it is worthy of grasping, then I'm going to put some effort into it. I'm not going to just open up the word and read a few sentences and say, well, I don't understand, and close the book and walk away. Because when I do that, my life will not change. And many of us are wondering right now why we cannot improve our life. But we don't esteem what God has to say worthy enough to grasp it. We won't sit alone and wrestle with it. We won't sit alone and pray over it. God, I really don't understand what you're saying here, but I need you to illuminate this by the power of your Holy Spirit. We don't consider it worthy enough to give any effort at all. We have to deem our vision worthy. Worthy of grasping. We have to deem it worthy of conforming our life to. Worthy. That means if it is worthy for me to conform my life to, then I have to let some things go. If I ought to love God, hate sin, and love to give, there are some things that I need to give up and let go. Why? Because our vision is worthy. It is worthy to conform my life to. We must esteem our vision more worthy than the things we are now depending on. What are you depending on right now? What are you looking to right now to improve the state and quality of your life? What are you looking to? Is it YouTube? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? What are you looking to? Is it your activities? Associations? I have to deem what God is saying to me more important than all of those things. Church, we must respect our vision. Knowing that our vision is significant, we must respect our vision. Then we must, point number two, regard our vision. We must respect our vision. And we must regard our vision. That word regard means give attention to and apply oneself to. To give attention to and apply oneself to. We have to regard our vision. See, we have a habit as Christians. You know what we are? We're like con artist Christians. We're trying to con God. And we think that we're doing it. We have a habit as Christians of acknowledging the things that we need to change and then not regarding. We will respect, but we won't regard. In other words, I run around and I say, yeah, Lord, I know I need to change. Yes, God, I know that I need to deal with this situation. And that's what we say, well, you know, God is just dealing with me. So we acknowledge. We acknowledge what God says, and that's it. We don't give attention to it. We don't apply ourselves to change. We just keep on going. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. And months turn into years. And we wake up one day. And our life is completely off the rail. And we say, I don't know how it happened. It's because we tried to con God and we conned ourselves. We have a habit of respecting but not regarding. But we cannot just respect. We cannot just acknowledge that our vision is worthy. We must give attention to it. We cannot just acknowledge that our vision is worthy. We must give attention to it. This year, it means that I cannot assume that my life conforms with the vision. I cannot assume, because many of us did. When we heard the theme for this year, oh yes, I do that. I love God. I hate sin. I love to give. Check. But maybe not. I cannot assume that I'm conforming my life to the vision. I must apply myself to the theme and seek to learn. That is, I have to strive to learn what it really means to love God. See, all of us have an opinion of what it means to love God. And then there's the truth. All of us believe that we love God, and most of us don't. See, I have to strive to understand what it really means to love God. I must strive to understand what it really means to hate sin. Because many of us say, yes, I hate sin, but we don't. We avoid sin. We turn away from sin and, well, God don't want me to do that. And eventually we get tangled up in sin. See, we have to strive to understand what it really takes to hate sin. Church, we have to strive to understand what it really means to love to give. Because many of us give out of constraint. If God didn't require that we tithe, we would not tithe. And many of us give just enough. We will tithe to the penny and will not give a penny more. We give out of constraint. We have to understand what it really means to love to give. And that's not just financial. Love to give of ourselves. Love to give of our service. Love to give of our time. Love to give of our wisdom. We have to know what it really means to love to give. Church, this year, we're going to have to regard our vision. Going to have to give some attention to it, apply ourselves to the things that we're being taught. Church, we must respect our vision. We must regard our vision. And our third and final point is we must, point number three, respond to our vision. See, it's very simple points for today. We're just getting started. We must respond to our vision. See, I have to respect the vision, acknowledge it for what it is. It is divine communication. It is the revealed will of God. Then I must regard our vision. I have to give attention to it. I must put the effort into learning the vision. But then I must respond. You know what respond means? It means to answer back with obedience. I love that definition. Respond means to answer back with obedience. Church, the only acceptable response to learning the vision is to answer back with obedience. That's the only acceptable response. It is not acceptable to answer back with excuses. It is not acceptable to answer back with neglect. It is not acceptable to answer back with denial. That's not me. It's not acceptable to answer back with complaining. Well, why do I have to keep changing? God, you keep asking me to change. What about this person over there? That's not an acceptable response. The only acceptable response is to answer back with obedience. Church, this year, we have to move past reciting the vision, and we must establish a relationship with it. I cannot just recite the vision. I love God. I hate sin. I love to give. But I must establish a relationship with it. I must do the very things that I have been taught. Why is that? Because when we conform our lives to the vision, we will be established, elevated, and strengthened. And you're saying, Pastor, you keep saying that, but I just don't see it. I don't see how living by the vision is going to help me in my situation. I don't see how loving God, hating sin, and loving to give is going to help me get through this problem. I don't see how loving God, hating sin, and loving to give is going to elevate me out of the pit that I'm in. I don't see how loving God, hating sin, and loving to give is going to strengthen me in my weakness. You keep saying it, Pastor, but I don't see it. But church, the vision will work. It will. It will. It will, no matter what you are going through in your life, no matter the problem, no matter how long you've gone through it, no matter the difficulty, any good thing you want to happen in your life this year can be brought about by building on the vision. Any good thing that you want to happen in your life this year can be brought about by building on the vision. Pastor, that's a bold statement. Yes, it is a bold statement. But this year, we're going to learn that it's true. Week after week, we're going to learn, we're going to see that it is true. Why is it true? Because the vision comes from God. And God never directs us in a way that is meaningless. God never gives us instructions that are inadequate. God never gives us instructions that fail. Church, God loves us, and He has done everything necessary so that we might, in these dark, wicked, and perilous times, that we might have abundant life. God has done everything for us so that we might have a victorious life. Even in the midst of all of this peril, look at what God has done for us. He sent His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus suffered in our place, suffered punishment for us. Our sins were washed away. We were forgiven. But when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, He sent back the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us. And He enables us to understand God's word. He enables us to understand God's instructions. But He didn't stop there. He put us in a local church. He engrafted us in. Put us in a place where we can grow in the knowledge of God. And in our local church, He has given us a vision. He has given us a way to understand our doctrine. He's given us a way to understand that we must love God, that we must hate sin and love to give. Look at what God has done for us. He loves us. And church, He knows what He's doing. He sees the state of each and every one of our lives. He knows what it's like when the covers pull back. He knows what's happening in our homes behind closed doors. He knows where we are individually. He knows where we are collectively. And God has sovereignly determined that for us as a church, it is time to go back to His original instructions, because that is what we need. He has determined that right now we need to reestablish a relationship with a vision. That we need to learn afresh what it means to love God. That we need to learn afresh what it means to hate sin. That we need to learn afresh what it means to love to give. Why? So that we can grow. So that we can mature. So that we can toughen up. So that we can overcome. So that we can change. And so that we can achieve. God has brought us to this place, but church, we must trust Him. And in this year, we must do what He says to do. We must learn what we need to know and respond back with obedience. Church, this year, we're going to build on the vision. Our vision is not a slogan. It's not a motto. It is divine communication that gives sight, and it comes from God. Church, it is what God has communicated to us. It is extracted from the Word of God. It reveals the will of God. And church, this year, it will give us spiritual sight. Our vision contains warnings and instructions from God. Those warnings will help us address the issues, problems, and challenges of our life. Church, because our vision is extracted from the Word of God, it succinctly expresses our doctrine. It summarizes our doctrine in a way that can be easily understood and that we can recall to our mind. Church, it is important. Our vision is a guidepost pointing us to our doctrine. Our vision is significant. When we build on our vision, when we purpose in our heart to love God, hate sin, love to give, our lives, church,